We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody.
We are the Pettiest Bills Podcast.
I'm not bright enough for all of that.
Drew Gator.
Because I thrive off negativity, it's just more hackery from a charlatan and a carpetbagger.
The Rock Pile Report.
My blood pressure's rising.
He gave him Coors at banquet beers out of spite.
The Pettiest, Hardest Drinking Bills Podcast.
I'll go to hell and back just to prove a point. Everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast, but not just any edition. It is the what feels like 45th annual draft reaction podcast with Nathan P. Geary from WGR 550. Now, I assume the P stands for
pro-am.
Does he? Well, he's dressed
patronizing.
Like
patronizing.
He literally looks like he just came from a pro-am.
Thank you.
Like, I was like, oh, what event were you at earlier? He goes, oh no, it was just a brewery. Dude literally walks around like he just came from the
court. In case someone offers me an opportunity to play at a country club, I gotta be ready.
I love how this is how he chooses to live. He's like, hey, whoa, I stay country club ready. Uh-huh. Some guys drive around with weapons in their vehicles because they go, hey, I gotta stay ready.
I got 14 weapons in the back of my car right now. Different lengths, different degrees.
I love it. I love that that's what you stay ready for. Guys, this might be my favorite draft in a long time. In a long, long time. Chris will freak out if you don't throw a coaster.
I was going to say something, but...
It might be my favorite draft in a while, and I'll tell you why. Right? Knee-jerk reactions abound. Raging debates. You got everything you wanted out of here. Hilariously flawed hills for people to choose to die on. This draft had everything you want if you're a jerk off like me. Like, it had everything you could ask for. And it's been a lot of fun to watch unfold. Way more fun than I thought it would be last week when I told everybody that I think the draft sucks and I'm sick of it. Mm. Now.
Yet here we are.
Are you happy that it's over?
I'm thrilled that it's over.
It's easier to pick through the wreckage of something than it is.
I think it was 15 hours of on-air for me.
And Chris, do you have that drop queued up for me?
What one?
Please tell me, do the old truck tire. Because I want you to hear this firsthand, because I got a live recording of what it was like at Jeremy White's draft party.
Oh, were you there?
There? No. We were there, but we weren't there, but we got audio from it as the night unfolded.
I can't stop!
There's a clip.
And your family screaming, oh my God, we're burning alive. No, I can't feel my legs. Here comes the meat wagon. And the medic gets out and says, oh my God.
New guy's in the corner puking his brains out. Oh my God, that was good.
Is this not the most fitting end for things for a fans of a football team who have driven themselves, to your point, like, to the point of caricature over what they perceived as a draft need, only to have the team go, nah. Nah. Is this not the most fitting end to the wide receiver draft train?
Yeah, I mean, I sat here on the show 2 weeks ago and I said, you never go full wide receiver train, right? Because you just never know. What I said something pretty profound as well, and it was that no matter who was picked, that everyone would love it.
We actually have that audio. Oh, you want to hear it?
I do.
Chris, run that
back. I think everyone needs to be more open to there being other ways than the way you want to think this thing's going to happen. And can I tell you that if the Bills decided at 28 to take a center from Oregon or to take a corner from Alabama and then find themselves in a position at 60 and say, we really like this guy at 60. We don't think he's going to make it there, so we're going to move up to 45 and we're going to get our guy. And we're going to use one of our fourths this year and maybe a second next year. We're going to do something. We're going to move up. And the Bills end up with two starters. Whatever the Bills do, you guys are going to be down for. You're not going to be angry when it happens. You're going to sell yourself like I sell anything else, like you sell anything else. Short of taking a quarterback, you will be down. If the Bills decide Friday morning, you might call into GR and, you know, Andy Kaufman might be freaking out about it and, you know, on his wide receiver train. When they pick their wide receiver in the second round, accept the fact that there is no golden ticket, there is no direct key, there is no exact science to what the Bills, what you are going to do, what mock draft is going to show. Whether you know or don't know football, at the end of the day, the Bills are going to draft two players probably in the first and second round. And however they figure out, if they can find a way to get two starters out of that, whether it's a first round wide receiver, a second round safety, a first round offensive lineman, and a second round wide receiver, a first round cornerback, and a second round wide receiver, if they can find two starters in this draft, it will go a long way for this team to figure out how to be better. If they can find a way to have three starters in the first 2 days, then everyone will be super happy that they now have three positions that they've now settled.
Exactly.
Instead of just two or just
exactly.
One. And if the Bills decide they want to trade up for Malik Nabers at the number 9 pick, at the number 8 pick, you will say, wow, they traded a lot, but holy cow, we've got this great receiver and now I'm super excited he's going to be better than Stephon Diggs. Oh my God, is Julio Jones trade all over again? Who fucking cares? And then you'll be like, I don't care that they traded a second and a first next year and a second next year and a fourth and a fifth and a seventh. Who cares? But at the end of the day, if they don't do that, you'll also be cool. You're all going to be cool regardless of what happens. Stop selling yourself any other scenario. You're all going to eat it. I'm going to sell it. You're going to buy it. You're going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. Drew's going to buy it. Chris is going to sell it. And Clay Travis is going to sit on it.
And I will toast. I'll toast on that. I love manic Nate Geary. And I feel like the radio community doesn't get enough of manic Nate Geary. I love that we have this profound effect on people. We've made
you feed them liquor and you wait,
well, yeah.
And then you see the results.
We've made Greg Thompson lose his shit. He's the first, his own flesh and blood have admitted that they've never heard him yell the way he snapped on me about like me just needling him over Creed Humphrey. They were like, what did you do to make him raise his voice like that? We have a profound effect on people that we bring out something in them. It may not be good, but at least we're getting something, some juice. You are one of my favorite guests because when you go, you go. And that stream of consciousness right there.
It was a stream of consciousness.
And yet it was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Where did we end up? Where did we end up?
Can we get these out of the goddamn way?
Yes.
Well, yeah,
The Nate Geary old fashioned. I used a store pick Buffalo Trace cinnamon syrup because you love that cinnamon syrup.
Fucking A right, I do.
And black walnut bitters and, of course, leftist tears.
Leftist tears is what makes it so sweet. So sweet.
If you weren't all crippled up, I'd just ask you to fight him.
Why would I fight him? Look at him. He's so handsome.
Is he though?
Yeah, we're in his studio that, you know, he comes in here and
we can take it to the golf course.
My thing
you
is
you can teach me and Reed how to play golf.
Yeah, Reed's not bad.
Reed was at Diamond Hawk. He was at Diamond Hawk the other day golfing.
I thought he's okay.
For a guy who has the ability to play as often as he is, I would have expected him to be better.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, I've been waiting to...
Like, we're slandering.
He's been waiting for me to hold for 2 years. And you know what? Maybe we get on the golf course. We'll get him in my domain. And at the same time, I'll hold a snap on the golf course. I'll bring a ball.
It'll be fun to figure this out. Here's what I want to know. First of all, watching the wide receiver train derail, was anybody else as thrilled as I was? Like, in retrospect, I was mad. We were on a live stream Friday night, and I said to everyone at the table beforehand, I don't want to know your best case scenario because that's soft. Mm. What's the thing that's going to make you get up and walk out of this room? And we went around the room, and I said, Keon Coleman. And then it happened. And everyone's like, Drew is the kiss of death. Me and Von Miller are apparently the kiss of death when it comes to like forecasting things happening or not happening. And then the best part is, after I had just done a diatribe about all the reasons why I didn't like the Keon Coleman idea, we pick him, and I'm sitting here dumbfounded, and everyone's going, this has to be a good pick based on the fact that Drew is always wrong. He's always wrong.
I'm wrong a lot, too. I don't even try to be sometimes. Sometimes I am just convinced in my rightness, and that is when I know that I am wrong.
And what happened, though, for me, what I took joy out of was this idea that no matter where you sat on the wide receiver train, so if you were riding, like, first class, you were trade up, go get O'Dunes, we're going to make this. That was never even in the cards. We couldn't trade up to get BTJ.
No.
We couldn't trade up to 19. Who the hell thought we were trading up to 9? So that never happened. So those people just caught all the smoke. And then, like, they're the first ones to hit the ground when the train derails, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the people, like, in coach who are riding with the wide receiver double dip. Hey! And then there's the people sleeping in the boxcars in the back going, just take the fastest wide receiver available. Everybody got jammed up in this. Every single person caught a piece of detritus, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, how do you feel about the idea? Because the Coleman thing has been talked to death.
The trade back with Kansas City?
The trade back. First of all, so you went at Jeremy a little bit about being the conductor of the wide receiver train. Andy Kaufman. Mm-hmm. Your boy Joe, he's been getting ratioed pretty hard over this opinion that the trade back with Kansas City specifically was a bad idea. And he keeps trying to defend it, and he keeps digging the hole deeper in trying to defend it. If you had a moment to speak directly to him, what would you say?
Dead air's not good.
He's thinking. The man is he's a poignant man.
I think that largely there has been zero room for smart takes on this.
Okay.
There just has been no. It is so one way or the other.
Because it's too close in proximity. This is the problem with trying to make your opinion immediately after the thing happens. Usually you have to let it breathe for a while before you can come up with a salient point. These are guys who have to go on the radio every single day and make a show about sports.
I'm here to tell you that I don't think Joe is wrong. I don't think that he has necessarily framed it in a way that isn't super polarizing. But again, that is a little bit of the job.
This is it, to
get people to talk about it. And he has gotten, and you know, we've all gotten people. Here's my take.
Yep.
Is that I think that the people that are here talking about this as the end of the world, why would you pick up the phone and let the Chiefs? If Brandon Bean and the Bills really decided that you know, Xavier Worthy was not someone that they needed to take in that position, then that is their right. That does not mean that they are right now.
No.
It doesn't mean they're wrong right now.
In 3 years, you're going to look back and go, okay, Xavier Worthy turned into, you know,
John Ross 2.0.
I mean, I talked about in a show that we did with a guest who we had on before you were in studio. I talked about Xavier Worthy as one of the worst ideas, one of my least favorite ideas in the
entire. It was probably my favorite idea.
See, and the reason why I hated it was because I go, light wide receivers in a league where physicality kind of
doesn't matter anymore.
But spacing has allowed them to make plays.
Nobody runs. No, I mean, there are just, it is so few and far between where teams don't draft physical corners anymore because physical corners can't keep up with the wide receivers that are around. Nobody runs man coverage. Everyone runs two deep shell, cover four, cover two, cover three. I mean, but mostly it's two deep shell, cover two and cover four and cover six and variations of everything in between. And for me, the thing that you like about a guy like Xavier Worthy is 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that's correct, is that's not a guy in the league that is going to succeed. And I'm not here to tell you that it's another Tyreek Hill. But what I am here to tell you is that the Chiefs own you. And this idea that, oh, Joe's scared of the Chiefs, and I'm glad my general manager's not scared of the Chiefs. Why wouldn't he? He should be fucking scared of the Chiefs. The Chiefs own you. Every time that it matters, they beat you. You should show a little bit of fear that you are letting a team, a superior general manager, a management group, a coaching staff that is better than yours because they've won three Super Bowls and you haven't gotten to one. They are a superior team than you. They want to call you, hang the fuck up, and force them to trade with somebody else. This idea that, well, they just would have got him anyways. You don't know that. Like, San Francisco might have wanted him. San Francisco drafted a receiver. You don't think they wanted to draft that guy? I bet you they would have drafted Xavier Worthy had the Bills not traded back with the Kansas City Chiefs. You hang up the phone 100 times out of 100 with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't care if you don't want to take Xavier Worthy. I liked him. I had a bias that I thought the Bills should take him at 28. I don't care that Kansas City got him. I don't care how they got him. You helped the Kansas City Chiefs get someone they wanted. I don't care if it was a center. I don't care if it was a fucking punter. Don't help that team get a player they want, and definitely don't do it if you're not getting insane. If you're not bending them over the barrel, then don't take the trade. They got okay value. They should have made them grossly overpay, and they didn't. So that's my problem. It's not who they picked. It's not that he's going to be the next Tyreek Hill. It's not that the Bills did this or did it. It is simply the fact that you should fear the Kansas City Chiefs. They beat you regularly when it matters. Their quarterback's better. Their coach is better. Their defensive coordinator's better. The way that they call plays is better. The way that their roster is put together is better. They have more blue chip athletes than you do. They are better. Don't even consider giving them an opportunity to get a player they want. And this is what I do agree with Joe on. If you really wanted Keon Coleman, you would not have you would not have moved back. You would have taken him at 28, and you would have feared that because of what you believe in him is that someone else in that spot would have then. But you know what it was? They were good with Coleman. They were good with Leggett. They were good with Worthy, and they were good with Ladd McConkey. They were good with any four of them. So why, if you were good with any four of them, would you help Kansas City get any of them is my question.
And that's fair because we just, Chris, our show with Doug, we talked about the concept of, you know, the E.J. Manuel trade back where they go, no, we got our guy, but we traded back to get him. It's like, no, no,
man up and fucking take him then.
You wouldn't have, he's not your guy if you trade back.
That's correct.
He's not your guy.
That is correct. And you know what? Maybe because they knew that they wanted the choice between him and Ladd McConkey, maybe I'll buy that at 33. That's why they didn't move back.
Sure, sure.
But this is way more about this weird sense of confidence that some of you Bills fans have about, well, let Kansas City, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. Because that they you want to make a point. What the point that people are making is that no matter what the Bills did, and this was my point originally, is that no matter what they did, everyone was going to be cool with it.
Yep.
And that's what the case is everyone's cool with it. And listen, I like Keon Coleman. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I would have rather them taken him at 28, and I know they got a third round pick, and I like Dwayne Carter. I'm glad I like the class. But do not sit here talking out of both sides of your mouth that this was the guy they wanted, so they were good with the with Kansas City coming up and Ricky Pearsall. Man, I think that a lot of you have this demented syndrome of being able to just totally go into, I am going to sell whatever the Bills do. And I have to come off. Joe has to come off. Jeremy has to come off as people that are being curmudgeon and critical, and we say nothing good about the Bills.
Because you're trying to be objective.
What I'm trying to do is just tell it the way that it is. And listen, am I sometimes overly critical? I don't think so, but if you view it that way, I'm not going to tell you that. But I also can, I feel like I am one of few people that do what I do that put themselves out there to talk about stuff that anytime I could be wrong in a week, in a month, in a year. I was wrong about Josh Allen. You think I'm not hiding from that? I don't delete my fucking tweets. I don't run from being wrong. It is really hard to be right and do what you do, what we do all the time. No one is. But the idea that I am some sort of, you know, oh my God, you never have anything good to say. Why even be a fan? You're a Dolphins fan because the one funny tweet you wrote one time to a Dolphins guy. Now you want to be a Dolphins fan. It's like you disease in your brain.
You do have a mug. You do have a mug, which I have to get you one from Mark.
Yeah.
I got to get you one made. Remember, it's over. We still joke about that in our group chat. Sometimes, like every now and again, someone will be like, "We're talking about an obscure thing," and someone will go, "Yeah, it's over with a bunch of A's," and we all know what he's talking about.
Didn't Reed quote tweet it after they won in Miami? I think he quote tweeted it.
Yes,
probably.
Now,
whatever. I don't.
The dynamic is what it is, but you're not wrong. I think that people get really caught up in this concept. I was confused by the decision to give them anything they like. If you like a player, you shouldn't be.
And
if they like a guy,
I
would almost wonder.
What do you think fair value is?
My thing would be, why don't I like him? What do they see in him that I don't see? Because they're a team that has far bigger needs at wide receiver than me.
I believe that they didn't know who they wanted.
Fair.
I believe that. I don't think that Brandon Bean and Brett Veach was like, yeah, here's who we're coming up for. That's not what happens on those calls. Right?
True.
Saying, I want this pick. We look at it as value. It is numbers. It is, this pick is worth X. You are trading me this pick, and I need X, Y, and Z in order to equal this.
So do you think there's a world where they take Worthy and Brandon being quietly sitting there and go, fuck?
Absolutely.
Fuck.
Listen, I think the makeup of this team in the wide, this is, and I'm sure at some point we'll talk about the broader picture, not just this draft.
Yeah,
but
of course.
This wide receiver room is terrible. And the idea that people are talking about it being better than last year, again, I have coworkers that do this a lot, which is like people on Twitter, it's like one guy tweets it and it's like, you know, we turn this into a narrative because one guy tweets it. This is not
newspapers do that.
This is not a one person tweeted it and I am angry about it. This is lots of people share this opinion that they have that Stephon Diggs was fucking crippled or something. Like they didn't use him well or right. He didn't look right. It wasn't because he got old. In 2 weeks, it's because there was some sort of underlying injury.
they switched offensive coordinators, and then they tried to throw him fucking screen passes. They tried to get him in motion and hand him the ball. They were doing anything they could to keep him involved in the offense. And then somebody tweeted at me, okay, now I'm going to do what my coworkers do. Somebody tweeted at me the other day and said, Nate, don't you trust Josh Allen? Don't you trust Joe Brady? Yeah, I mean, this is the worst group of receivers, pass catchers he's had since his rookie year. So I have no baseline to tell you whether or not I trust him with bad players that are catching the ball from him. Do I trust him? Sure. Do I trust Joe Brady? No, and neither should you. He's been a coordinator for like 8 games, and they were, I don't know, not really 8 games of prolific offense. They won games, sure. Does anybody want to get off to that Chargers game where they were playing a bunch of third stringers in a team that was out of it and their second string quarterback? But you guys want to get off on that performance?
You're a bad guy if you bring that up. Now, what do you got here? Let me ask this. Do you trust? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you trust Joe Brady?
If you do, the wide receiver is good enough. That is the worst context. It's the worst argument I've ever heard. Because here's the thing. Is people will say this. Here's what will happen. The Bills will win 10 games. Maybe they'll win the division. Maybe they'll win a wild card. Whatever. And people will say, well, Mac Hollins had 40 catches. He was actually good. No. Mac Hollins got to play in a situation that he would play in nowhere else. Had a quarterback that is better than 95% of the league. And no one else to throw the football to. So yep. That's why he had 40 catches. Not because he's a good receiver, but because he is a victim of the situation that he is in. And this is my point, is when this group, when Josh Allen throws for 30 touchdowns and 4,400 yards, people are going to say, the group is fine. And I'm going to tell you, you are insane. Because look at what the Tennessee Titans could do this because they have a rookie quarterback and a rookie contract. They are surrounding their quarterback with a very good, they just signed Tyler Boyd today. They've got, they've got Hopkins. They have Calvin Ridley. They are putting a group of receivers and Tony Pollard, they're putting a group around him to say, we're going to know at the end of the year whether or not this guy can be our quarterback or we're going to move the fuck on.
Last year when he beat the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football, he was throwing touchdown passes to Noah Westbrook-Ikhine. Now he has a whole different slate of wide receivers to throw to. Last year, when the Houston Texans lost to the Ravens in the playoffs, look at the wide receiver core and the skill around him and look at what they have now. They have done work. The Bills have gone the opposite direction, and they keep trying to table it as, no, we've got a plan. And what it is I wish it's the thing of like, my dad always had a phrase, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Mm. The concept is don't tell me you're not taking a step back and rebuilding.
They are.
We all know it. Just admit it. But they won't.
Now, we have a bottom three group at the position of receiver.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. Maybe we bring it back for that podcast because I have a whole exercise in mind.
We should talk.
We drafted other players.
But we have to move on. Now, here's some things. Some texts I received Friday night in the wake of the Coleman pick. I want to read them.
Daddy, don't. Daddy, this hurts. Is that what they were tweeting?
OMFG, what a mistake. did we actually just draft N'Keal Harry 2.0? Oh, here we go. Touted as the best wide receiver class in years, possibly ever, and we go out of our way to ensure we landed the slowest of the bunch. And you just know that idiot was clapping up a storm while it happened.
let me pop in here.
The dude even
followed. I don't give a shit about his speed.
But the dude even followed that up with a photo of one of those wind-up monkeys with the symbols. And I was like, all right, now you're just being offensive. Here's one. I wrote this one down.
Nurse?
So apparently, we're going to run our offense out of the AFC's only 13 personnel package. Awesome. Now, for those of you who don't understand, 13 personnel means one running back and 3 tight ends, which was supposed to be a shot at Coleman's speed. Now, as you said, you don't care. But, Nate, of all the hyperbolic reactions out of this, I don't care about that. Like, I don't actually dislike that thought. You want to give me a formation that's Knox...
Let me ask you a question. Kincaid. You know what Devontae Adams' 40 time was?
Don't care.
Do you know what DeAndre Hopkins' 40 time was?
Don't care.
Do you know what? Do you know what Xavier Worthy's 40 time was?
Not really, no. I just know he was touted as being
4.21.
He fucking knows what it is.
No, because here's what I know. Most people who agonize over this shit end up getting themselves into this scenario that you're talking about.
Xavier Worthy ran a 4.21, the fastest time in combine history. Okay. And you know what happened? It hurt. The narrative on him, it hurt him that he ran that fast. It hurt him. You want to know why? Because everyone thought all he could do was run a straight line. Oh, he ran a 4.4 or 4.21, so he must, and he's small, so all he does is run a 9 route. He's not a, he doesn't have, I can't tell you how many times in tweets, in responses, he can't run the full route tree. He is too small. He is just a straight line speed guy. If you watch five plays, the guy can run a full, he is a damn good route runner. And can I tell you this about Keon Coleman? Is that Keon Coleman ran a very similar time than DeAndre Hopkins, than Devontae Adams. And why, if you are going to make a big deal and tell me if you're going to mock and knock a guy because he ran too fast, and then also on the other side knock a guy because he ran too slow, you don't know shit about football.
Bang.
And to me, Keon Coleman was a very good to potentially great player had he been, and this is my big thing about football in general, is the Bills drafted James Cook, and the general manager went on stage and said, well, you know, he's going to be a pass-catching back, and he's not big enough to what did he say? He said something on when they drafted him, and then he came back the next day or later that night and said, basically wanted to come back and say, by the way, James Cook, I said earlier, you know, he's kind of like a small, like he can't really hug. But I think he, like, that's not, like, he basically had to go back on what he said. He had to go back on what he said because he, and look at James Cook, ran for 1,000 yards last year. It is not about what you do in college. It is about trying to find players that you think you can maximize more from. And I think in the case of Keon Coleman, he had a very inaccurate quarterback that threw the football all around. And people want to use, he played an above the rim and he can go up and get the ball, but that's all he can do. And I really like Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. And a lot of these really smart people that follow the position, that project the position based on analytics, based on film, and based on prototypes, want to put Keon Coleman in the slot as a big slot and say that's the only thing that's going to make this guy successful in the NFL is if a team deploys him from the slot. And I disagree with that because you are using your analytics, you're using your eye test based on what he was asked to do in college with a quarterback that, and Jordan Travis is a fine quarterback and probably would have won the Heisman had he not been hurt. But he wasn't particularly accurate. And to me, Keon Coleman is a player that can separate. This idea he can't separate, I think, is nonsense. If he couldn't separate, he wouldn't even be in the conversation for a first or second round pick. Guys that are at that position in the first or second round, they separate. And Keon Coleman ran the third fastest time through the gauntlet. He is a fast player that does not run in a straight line particularly fast. Xavier Worthy runs in a straight line really fast, but he also does other shit really fast as well. And there is room for all of us to have opinions about what straight line speed means, whether it's relevant or not. But just because one guy runs really fast in a straight line doesn't mean he can't do other shit. And just because a Keon Coleman doesn't run in a straight line really fast doesn't mean he can also be a vertical player down the field and create separation. These are conflicting ideas.
Now,
you want to talk about Cole Bishop?
Now that you've gotten this all off your
Cooper
chest.
Cooper DeJean.
The only thing I want to say, Cooper DeJean.
At white safeties, same
DeJean.
Thing.
He's white, it's DeJean.
I just like the fact that someone tweeted out on draft night, they were like, of night two, they were like, oh, look, it's the, or maybe it was day three, but it was the thing of, they were like, here is the Eagles DB core this year. And it was a sign, and it just in the liquor store that just said exotic whites. And I was like, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. You drafted white DBs, and it's a thing now. Like, now it's a thing.
That's what we
franchise.
Do.
Now, I was mad at the draft, but I don't care. Like, draft night, I was frustrated, and then you wake up, and you take a look, and you go, well, we got some size at wide receiver. We got some things going for ourselves. I do believe Bean when he believes he plays faster than his 40 time. I think of Bolden. But in order to be Anquan Bolden, like former Bills great Anquan Bolden, they're going to have to coach him up. They're going to have to coach him up because he's going to have to play the game with an awful lot of toughness. If he's ever
What's
going.
What's that even mean?
It means you have to relish contact. It means you're going to have to become very comfortable with the idea that in the new NFL, where spacing and catching the ball in the open field and running for yards after the catch has become kind of the norm, you're probably going to be a wide receiver that finds a soft spot in zone, and then you get hit by two or three guys. If you're okay with that, and if you want to make truly explosive plays, you learn how to kind of lower your shoulder into that contact, because sometimes those guys, like we've seen it, bad safety play, where you have safeties who would rather hit with a shoulder than wrap tackle. You can bounce off that and just keep going.
Do you know what team had the highest percentage of man coverage was last year?
Who?
Before I ask you who, what do you think that number was? The highest percentage of man coverage.
I'd say probably about 31%.
Okay, it's much higher than that. It's really? Double that.
Okay.
But what do you think the league average was?
Most of the league
under 50%.
Yeah, I would say they
it's 47.
It's under 50%.
Okay.
So why does he have to play? And let me ask you this. What about a player like him makes you think that contact is some sort of, like, the idea that, oh, he can't separate with speed, okay, but he separates, but he's a large human.
The idea is you can't do the LeSean McCoy thing. When you don't have Xavier Worthy's speed, the only difference is you're not going to be the LeSean McCoy who
I thought we were
runs,
done talking about receiver.
No. Before we move on.
Oh.
Who runs away from contact.
Remember the one time Drew didn't do the intro to the show?
You're yes. never going
to
run away from
Do you remember that
contact?
Bullshit? And now he's trying to fucking, what is this, his show?
Yeah.
He's just trying to.
It's almost like it's mine, right? You're never going to be the guy who runs away
Chris's
from
contact. It's Chris's show. It's Clay Travis's show, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to him.
Clay Travis. He's got a whole, trust me.
So, you got the Clay quote of the week?
So
does he call somebody a cuck? Does he talk about the UCLA protests? What does he got?
So you can't, like, if you think about it, he's not going to run away from a lot of hard contact. So it's just that you have to learn to love that. You have to make that what
got
you
got like a little residual sip of just the cinnamon.
You have Delicious. To love what that is, right? That's what happens when you're a slower, bigger wide receiver, but not even necessarily slower, just you know that contact is going to come, so you need to enjoy that. Anquan Bolden was a wide receiver who I think most kind of embodies what that is. If he, a fellow Florida State alumni, if he can ever mirror his game after that, even just minorly, I mean, he's a much more athletic version of what Bolden was. He could be an impact player. I think a lot of people are selling them short.
Anquan Bolden ran a 4.71.
Yes, I know that.
I thought you said you didn't know about 40 times because you didn't care.
No. I researched that.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Because I was just looking for comps. I go, who are the slowest players to ever be productive in the NFL?
Quintez Cephas?
Quintez Cephas sucked. He was
like
slow.
A 4.76.
That's why when we signed him, people
Do you
like,
know what I ran? You know what my 40 time is?
I bet you your 40 time is embarrassing.
6 minutes.
Not now. I'm talking about when
six
I played
minutes.
When I was in college.
6 minutes.
Do you know my 40 time was in college?
What was it?
4.89.
I would probably say like a 4.9. Yeah, I like that look on your face. 4.9.
I ran a 4.76 in college.
And then Buff State called.
No, I was in college when they ran.
Wait, so Buff?
I was a running quarterback.
Well, yeah, because you played for Buff State. The line sucked. If you didn't
fuck
run,
off, the line sucked.
If you
love
didn't
you boys.
Run, you die.
You guys were a great offensive line. Probably the best offensive line I've ever played for was in college. Sorry. What you guys had Mike Kelly on. He was a tight end. He couldn't block for shit. He also couldn't catch, but I love him.
Oh, I can't wait to take this.
He, Mike will. I'm sure he was probably when you guys were on his podcast. And what did he tell you? Fucking drop the ball all the time. Him and Dave, my two tight ends. You know what they would do? Fucking drop the ball all the time. It wasn't just him. It was my other receivers. All they did was drop the ball. So I throw a great ball. Yeah. These dudes dropped it.
I'm not
going
to lie to you. I got a quarterback like you hurt one time. Kid Mike Mead. I was playing left guard. Coach's son.
That's why Drew doesn't care about 40 times.
And,
I don't know why.
And one day.
He's offensive line.
One day we're in here. Fuck. We're in the fucking huddle. And Mike Mead is reading us the riot act about how we're not giving him enough time to throw accurate balls. And we're all sitting here going, this dude couldn't. He's not accurate no matter how much time you give him.
Drew, what number were you? In the 70s?
I think it was 75.
Yeah, I knew. First of all, I knew you were in the 70s. Second of all, you wore the big mask with the fucking bar in the middle.
Shh. Nope.
You wore the bar in the middle.
He goes,
and you had knee braces. And,
nope.
And then you.
Nope.
Don't tell me I'm wrong.
Nope.
I know I'm right.
He had the Brian Cox.
Yeah, uh-huh. He had the neck
roll.
Dude,
I wish I could have earned a neck roll. I wish I could have played to earn a neck roll. Now
I could use a neck roll right now. My neck's killing me.
Because we're old as shit.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, we here's got you a new thing. Fancy chair, so.
It's got lumbar support.
Here's the fun thing. There was a game. He's reading us the right act in the huddle, and you just go, all right, well, fine, fuck you. I've had enough of your shit. So we go to the line, and we line up, and I just look at the kid across from me, and I spit out my mouth guard, and I go, I'm blocking left, and he goes, what? And I go, I'm blocking left, and then the ball gets snapped, and I fire off the ball into space, and there's just a window. And now here I am thinking, like, he'll get harassed. He'll understand what it is. No. He got crushed. That guy murdered him. I didn't know he was going to hold the ball for that long. Separated his collarbone. He was done for the year. And then the best part is, Tim Neary came in. Tim Neary could throw the football, but also run. And because we were a bad football team, he ran a lot. And he saved our asses, and we actually won our first game that season with Tim Neary under center. And so in a way, I almost helped the team, but it was also like, man, fuck you. Yes, I understand. Now, moving on from Keon Coleman, because I think that's been beaten to death.
Yeah, we just spent 40 minutes on it.
I know. The rest of the draft wasn't...
All right, Clay, relax.
The rest of the draft, not bad. Defensive back Cole Bishop and Daquan Hardy from, what was it, Penn State? These guys, now about Bishop, there's something in Dane Brugler's review of him that stuck in my head. And it's this idea that as he's watching
about the beast.
Well, as he's watching him in film, he goes, he would rotate single high to the box, then roll up to cornerback or nickelbacker in about five other positions in between.
Nickelbacker?
This is
you
his,
to say that?
This is how you remind me
what I really am. Every white guy knows that song.
This is how. Right, is this where we're gonna break out the karaoke for?
Yeah.
So the idea is he's already naturally doing. He seems like a fit, if only because he's already doing things that McDermott asks his safeties to do. No matter how. Like who else was on the clock there, right? Like when we were going down the safety rankings and you're like, oh, here's the sweet spot. We had that whole podcast with Bruce where we talked about the second round being kind of the sweet spot for safeties. Buda Baker and all of these other guys. When you look at what was handed to us, I think what Bullard went a few picks before. I believe Javon Bullard got taken just like,
he did, yeah.
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 So he
I liked the kid from Texas Tech too.
Sure.
Dorian something or other.
But he didn't go until the fourth round, which tells you that GMs were actually a lot lower on him than most Twitter pundits. Now, the idea that you have this guy, right? Like the thing that disappeared from Poyer's game over the last 2 years was just the explosive plays. You didn't really see him get
he was slow. And old.
Exactly. Because that's what age. That's what being 33 is.
I'll say this about Poyer. He was slow and old and not good at football, but that dude can golf. He's an athlete.
Now, my thing is
he also loves Clay Travis.
When you when you watch him, right? you know like what he used to be in his prime.
Yeah.
He used to be able to do all the things they talk about Cole Bishop being able to do. So it shouldn't shock anybody that he was their second round pick.
What did they say about you in your prime?
Me in my prime? I'm still in it, brother.
Yeah, the fuck you are.
No joke. Nate, Chris. I am the best version of me that has ever existed right now, sitting in this chair.
No, before you came over, we were live on YallTube, and we were talking about my hockey.
YallTube?
Yeah, YouTube.
Is that YouTube for right wingers?
Yes, it is. YallTube.
Or from the South.
We discussed my hockey career because I'm in a 30 and over draft league, and Drew wanted to know what pick I would be, which I put myself as a second round pick out of 14 teams. I'd be in the top,
medical red flag,
top 28.
But
yes.
He scored, like, he's going over his box scores, and he goes, yeah, and in this game, I scored 8 goals and had 3 assists. Like, why aren't you a first?
You know,
he's on my back.
Listen, Drew, you look at him. He's got medical. He's got medical red flags. But when you look at him, athlete is not the first word that comes to mind.
No.
No.
I love it. But so with that said, Cole Bishop, great pick.
Yeah, I like it because he's going to be a
Because it replaces it. Because Mike Edwards never really did it for me.
Hey, is he off the bus starter?
I think if you put him and Mike Edwards next to each other in camp and you make them compete for a strong safety spot, it's hard.
Are you guys going to cut this? Can I say something off the record? Are you guys going
to... No, you can... No, that's going to stay in.
I'm out then.
He goes, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I like the guy who understands what McDermott schematically
wants. He likes
the
white safety.
We all do.
Daquan Hart, damn it, Chris.
Thank God for these swiveling chairs.
Daquan Hardy, that sounds like a solid value pick if you're looking
for
a returner.
What, seventh round pick?
Yeah. You're looking for a returner? Okay.
Yeah. He's got to make the team, though. I mean, he's got to make the team as a corner.
And he might have competition because I saw this tweet earlier today, and I was like, this is genius. So, Tony Mastrangelo, I want to give him credit.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Shut your mouth. Tony Mastrangelo. Yeah.
Who is that, though?
Nobody. It's nobody important. Just a guy whose daughter got real sick one time, and I started following him. And, like, he and I were talking, and it was fine.
Okay.
He tweeted at Chopin the Bulldog today. And was like, I was listening to you guys talk about Justin Fields returning kicks today, and it made me think.
Josh Allen.
What if the Buffalo Bills had our new former rugby player return punts and kicks?
The 300-pound kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clayton Travis.
Clayton Travis.
Love to see it.
Clayton Travis. You know the only reason he likes it. Because he wants to get that jersey. He wants to get that Bills jersey with the last name Travis on it.
It's too bad he can't be number 69.
Yeah. That'd be a good number. Yeah, well, he's got to make the team first.
I mean, the thing is, Bean admitted he might not have picked Hardy at all if it wasn't for the new kick return rules. Now you have to try to invest in that. Well, he did. Now,
could have got a guy in the first round.
What do you think about Ryan Davis?
Ray Davis.
Ray Davis, Ryan Davis, doesn't fucking matter. It's like, R. Davis.
I felt dumb for a second. I was like, who the fuck is Ryan Davis?
It wouldn't be a Bills draft if we didn't reach for a running back.
Oh, like it was a reach?
Okay, so Braylon Allen, Isaac Rurendo, they're both on the board, and you decide, well, I'll take this guy.
Braylon Allen had a lot of fumble issues in college, and the other guy runs fast.
Sell it to me.
Ray Davis, if he wasn't 24, would have been probably more highly touted. He was an older running back, but he's the only player in SEC history to run for 1,000 yards for two separate SEC teams. He is both a viable pass catcher, a willing blocker, and someone that this team desperately needs in terms of a true downhill north-south but can break run runner. I would have preferred Audric Estime myself.
Yeah, no
bias
shit.
Aside,
Notre Dame bias.
He's also 20 years old. So, but I think the Bills are a team that even though everybody every year will mock a Bills first round pick as a running back or have them tied to any running back that is good, that is a potential free agent, that the Bills will be mocked or be talked about as being a team in for them. They do not invest in the running back position other than in draft picks. They do not give them second contracts.
And you shouldn't.
Correct. So even if they use a second round pick on a running back or a third round pick or a fourth round pick on a running back, they're here for 4 years and then they're gone. So is he a very good compliment to James Cook? He absolutely is a very good compliment to James Cook. I really like the three pieces they have in the running back room now in Ray Davis, who can block on third down, but be a guy that can block. And if he has to come out of the backfield and catch the football, he's very competent in doing that. His story is great. The Bills decided that they were going to draft a bunch of guys that are, in my opinion, high character leader type players. And they lost a captain and weight room every year, won the fucking weight room contest, guy that works out the hardest, Warden Gabe Davis, was a captain. They lost Stephon Diggs, who was a captain. They lost Jordan Poyer, who was a captain. They lost Micah Hyde, who was a captain. They lost Tremaine Edmonds a year ago, who was a captain. And they lost Tre'Davious White, who was a captain. I just
still got Reed.
Six captains that the Bills have lost in the last 2 years. They are looking for young players with leadership ability that even if they may not seem conventional or may not seem a high-level or high-end athlete, they didn't run the fastest 40 time, or Dwayne Carter to me is another player that sticks out to me as a leadership-type guy. And Cole Bishop, captain, Utah, seems like a leadership-type guy. And you talk about the Van Prong...
Cedric Van Prong Granger.
Who is a two-year captain, three-year starter, started 44 consecutive games, all-SEC last year, second-team All-American, second-team all-SEC the year before, and was a guy that, to me, is another really good pick for the Bills. And I think people are being a little dramatic. I don't think he's going to start this year.
No.
Maybe I'll be wrong, but that's a guy that could start games in the future.
And so, Davis, just to kind of cap this off, Davis has a he kind of cut his teeth in the right division, and also he has a pedigree that seems to speak to future success. You look at the Van Prong Granger.
Van Prong Granger.
Like, that's so hard to say. Can we just call him VPG?
Well, CVPG. CVPG.
I don't know how to condense VPG. This. I don't know how to condense his name properly, but that's too many. It's too many words for a jersey. No one's going to buy that. I don't know. He's one of my favorite picks of the entire draft. He was a guy I wanted. I thought we would have to take him in the second or third. I'm really happy we didn't.
But that's why you don't know draft shit.
Of course. So when you get him and you realize, like, hey, what's the... Hey, Nate, has the Georgia rushing attack, here's a question, has it been good? Has the Georgia rushing attack been good? Okay. Guess who's been the linchpin of that offensive line for the last couple years?
Cedric VPG.
VPG, there we go. So, if you want to take that guy on a fifth-round flyer, awesome.
I saw a...
I'm not going to argue with that.
I saw...
That's value. That's incredible value. For all these people screaming after the Coleman pick, for all the people screaming about how Bean doesn't understand value. He doesn't? Because I'll tell you what, Bishop, Davis, VPG, those are screaming value picks.
I saw a John Ledger tweet about this, about VPG, talking about how the draft process, the combine, he had a tough, but you turn on the game film, he's a player. He has short arms. He got bone for short arms. I'm with two T-Rexes here myself. So between you and Chris.
T-Rexes, are you kidding me? I have an ape index bigger than Sonny Liston and Michael Phelps.
All right, well, I got alligator arms, freaking producer over here. So,
what, yeah. Those are normal arms, Drew.
No.
Stand up back to back.
Dude, I got you on. I got this. You know, you do it right now. I got you on two cam. Do it. Drew and Nate are going to stand next to each other. No, turn around. Okay. Face the camera. God, face the camera.
Okay.
Now, no, Nate, just go shoulder to shoulder. There you go.
It's a normal fucking human. You are a mere man.
You're
taller. All right.
I'm a lot of things.
Now continue this in front of the mics. Come on. There we go.
I got Shaquille O'Neal like... length on my arms.
He's just a normal man.
See, when I do it, my tips of my fingers go just past his wrists.
Well, that's what I said.
He actually is.
He's an alligator arm. Yeah.
He actually does have alligator
arms. He's like, Nate, what did you want me to search on the computer? Left his tears.
He's trying to watch Clay Travis. He keeps looking up Ray Travis. He's like, no, I don't want country music. I don't want country music. Stop doing this. I can't reach the C. So
take another.
Yeah.
No. Give him the specialty. Give him the specialty because he likes it.
You like this?
Oh, that's a new one? Oh, yeah. The mango peach. It fucks.
Now, here's a question. Can you pronounce the name of the linebacker that we drafted?
No.
I'm going to... Now, here's the thing. I'm going to bet you a Seagram's.
Oh, I forgot. I feel like I owe you guys some Seagram's.
Yeah, a lot.
I have one here on the table. Here's what's going to happen. We're both going to take...
Can I read the name? I need it in front of me.
No.
I'll put it up here.
Here's the best part. Now, here's the funniest part about this is that I heard it earlier, and I still don't remember it.
I have it correct. I have it correctly on the soundboard.
Now, if you can pronounce this Washington linebacker's name properly.
Better than you.
Better than me. I will drink a Seagram's. Let's give it a whirl.
Are you going first?
You go. Give it your best stab.
Adefwan Olufashio.
Drew?
That sounds right.
Drew, what? give us a rip. Focus.
I want to say Edefwan Olufashio.
Edefwan Olufashio.
You were both wrong.
Fuck.
Right, by a mile.
We should both.
I'll go get a Seagram's out
Son
of the fridge.
Of a bitch.
Well, I didn't feel like I was that. Edefwan Olufashio.
Olufashio. Like, guys, this is one of those things. Like I feel like one of those kids who loses the scripts. The
what flavor is this one?
That's blueberry acai.
No, not for me.
Chino.
You're making me happy.
Chino, that go. I was about to be happy.
He brought you the OG.
Yeah. So why you guys?
No.
No. Nate, God, you don't do that. You don't have Drew's teeth.
No, Nate.
You got.
I actually spent money on my.
Nate, yeah, you yeah. spent
what
money.
What you just need is an adult.
Was that
exactly.
Was that a twist off?
Yeah, that was a twist off.
All right. Here's what.
that's on camera. Oh, I love that that's on camera.
That was unfortunately, that was not on camera. The camera's on me because you two dickheads are going to chug that. And then we're going to listen. We're going to listen to EJ Snyder, who we had on our linebacker show, talking about Uofoshio.
The guy that I want to highlight to you is a guy from right up the road. I was just at his pro day.
So chug those.
He's a narrow cone, and the narrow cone is pass coverage, specifically pass coverage in zone. And he was literally one of the best pass coverage linebackers in zone in the entire country. And he's still going to be picked down at like 240, 250 because, oh yeah, there's other things in his game that are holes, but that's not one of them. And it's Edifuan Ulufosio out of Washington. If you want a coverage linebacker that you can steal late in the draft, Ulufosio is a guy you want. He moves extremely well. Eyes are in the right place. So all the things you said about McDermott's defense, like, he did those for the Washington defense. He made plays that way. He is not a guy that's going to come up for the most part and fill gaps. He can chase to the edges. He does have some speed, but man, it is all about smart positioning and just, I'm just going to call it feel savvy in zone pass coverage for Ulufosio. And if you need that, he's going to be available. You're not going to have to spend a high pick on
it. There you go. EJ Snyder, Bootleg Football, came on our show to talk about linebackers, and he actually went to Ufoshio's pro day. Loved him.
Bill signed Deion Jones. You guys know that?
Yeah, I saw that. We made fun of it earlier.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't here for that.
Guys, we both just chugged a Seagram's, and that takes me back to my younger days, right? Like, where we were trying to get diabetes.
Which was a long...
Yeah. Dude, we've been doing this for 9 years.
Yeah, do you know that? June is...
Time ago.
June, we're going to start year 9.
Last year was my 10th year at WGR.
I know, because I remember meeting you. Now, maybe you don't know this. I met you. The first time I met you personally was at the 2017 Bills training camp. Chris and I came. We were talking to you. And I will never forget a moment where you, like, saw John Murphy and was like, "Hey, John." And he looked at you and gave you the fan treatment. And you were like, "I've been doing this guy's fucking show prep for years." And you snapped. And I go, "That's the radio industry, baby."
Yeah, what was the bar that we went to?
Pittsford Pub.
Pittsford Pub, yeah.
That's the year?
That's the year,
baby. Laisel?
Yeah, Laisel and James.
Icy Vic.
Icy Vic and all the guys.
Yeah, you, Nate, you and I exchanged radio stories because I had told
you. That's right.
I had worked in Atlanta for 680 The Fan and 790 The Zone. And we discussed radio stories, and
he was
a
producer for Clay Travis's show.
Not really, but
dude, do you know?
I was surprised. I was surprised that
wanking.
No,
I
was surprised that.
Swear it was real.
You had similar radio stories for the Buffalo market.
Oh, yeah.
That I had for the Atlanta market.
I shared.
And my mind was blown because I was like, I'm so glad I didn't pursue that even further because
I remember what story I shared with you.
Yeah, you did. Yep.
I shared a very particular story with
Chris.
Yes.
And so it's this concept of radio is radio is radio.
Cutthroat.
And now we do a podcast.
Yeah.
But it was that day.
I got to get in the podcasting game. I got to get a radio.
Yeah, but.
Howard, when he retired, you know what his,
you
know, tried? You know what his advice with me was?
Fucking get out. So leave. So this is the question. Can you do a podcast?
No.
Do you have the commitment? Do you have the fortitude?
I do. I don't have a Chris. I don't got a big idiot alligator arms loser. I don't have that.
You have to find yourself a Chris.
If I had a Chris, I'd
look
have,
at all
I'd
this. Have, this is all because of him.
I'd have a podcast if I had a Chris.
Exactly. Most people would. Chris is the best, and for as much shit as I give him, he is.
He's got three screens. I can't tell if his pants are on or off back there.
I got jeans on.
Yeah, he's got denim. And I know what happens inside denim, brother. I was in high school once.
I'll tell you this. Guys, this
Pocket
draft.
Racket.
So as we wrap this up.
Oh,
this
that's
draft,
right. We were talking about the draft. Yeah.
Look, it's funny how we all get derailed. And
we're talking about Solomon. He's my favorite.
Well,
favorite pick.
It's the Seagram's. Like that. That's
the kid from Troy is my favorite pick.
It's derailed the whole
Why?
Time. That's your favorite pick?
Yeah.
Why?
I think he's got juice.
I like this. So who do you think he's competing with in camp?
The kid, Tuhill.
Tuhill?
Yeah. Okay. The dude they got from Washington. Yeah.
So that's the direct competition. All right.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, there was people who came out post-draft and said, look, the Bills got a steal in that pick.
I think that the 53-man roster will have 10 defensive linemen like it did last year.
Yeah.
And they've got 4 veterans at defensive tackle and 1 young guy. They've got 4 veterans at defensive end and 1 young guy. And I think early on, the young guy, Solomon, I think one of the veterans.
Well, Kingsley Jonathan probably has something to say about that.
Nate, you want to say that again?
Yeah. Hang on, he's putting it on the board. He's already got the C Group's bed board out.
What the fuck is my Baker MVP? What's that?
Oh, yeah, no, Nate, you've had a lot of losers over the
years. Yeah, here, I'm... For anybody watching on YouTube, here is a bunch of Seagram's bets. This one's kind of weird from last year. David Johnson
what
on
is,
the
field. What is Baker MVP?
You said he was going to be MVP second year. He's first or second
in
voting.
Being the first or second in voting for MVP.
I think I was misquoted.
No. I don't think you were.
It's on the record, dude.
It's on the record. Chris goes back.
I'd like you to find that.
Oh, dude, he'll waterboard you with the audio. And then you'll just have to soak in your
Do I write it? Final 50, Nate, final 53.
That Solomon makes the final 53?
No, you said 10.
10 defensive linemen?
Yeah, 10 linemen. Edge in the line.
Yep.
And then, do you want to make Solomon one of them?
And I will, no. But I will say, 10 defensive linemen make the 53, 6-pack. Six.
Ooh.
Seagrams.
Yeah, but that's...
And I'll get a ride here.
I'll get a ride here. Do you know anyone willing to drive you anywhere? I don't think you do.
Wait, is that you'll get a ride to the hospital to solve diabetes?
put me down for 6. And it's an how about this? It's an all for nothing. I'll take the 6, and how many do I owe for Baker?
5.
Fuck!
Yeah, exactly! You still owe an incredible amount. Like, it's all...
What else do I owe? I saw my name on there twice. What else do I owe?
What's his tab at, bartender?
Well, your tab's at, like, 7. Well, one, I don't think we... I don't think that there was a statistical outline to follow, but I do have to cross this one out, that Jake Fromm threw an NFL touchdown pass.
I think I drank for that, though.
Yeah. But then you also have James Cook, more snaps by week 15, 2 flavored Seagrams in a beer bong, which I don't have that beer bong anymore.
I'm pretty sure
that
he
came from one of our listeners.
Wait, you got rid of the beer bong?
No, Benton broke it.
Oh,
but I'm pretty sure that I won that bet. No,
I don't know what the
it was. He was out. He was going to out snap Singletary by week, whatever I said.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that happened.
That might have happened.
Yeah, we haven't followed this. Drew, you have a OBJ signs by week 17
of last year.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Why don't you drink that one right now?
We're out,
Chris. We're out.
Oh, we're out.
We already ran out.
And then
guys. We're going to have a Seagram's catch-up show with us and Nate and Chris.
And we're just going to drink as many Seagram's as we can.
We're all
going
to go to the hospital. Camera. In fact, we'll just get a bunch of insulin and we'll take it out.
And then we'll... Could you clip the guy that says Dob Bittis?
Yeah.
With the anteater mustache.
Now, we kind of breezed over Dwayne Carter.
I like him a lot. He might be my favorite
pick
of the draft.
It might be the most solid.
You just said that about Solomon.
No. Carter
but
rules.
What do you care about facts?
Clay Travis cares about facts.
The idea that you drafted...
We love facts on the right.
The idea that you drafted a rotational defensive tackle to throw into the mix, who has the upside of, hey, we don't have to go back to a 90-year-old Jordan Phillips?
He already signed to somebody else anyways.
Doesn't matter. Jordan Phillips was old when
he
played for us last
year. Chris, really quick. What do you think the likelihood is... That Drew and his teeth could get through this ice cube.
I've been thinking about it all show. Looking at this fucking ice cube, and I'm like, I wonder, could fucking Drew get through this ice cube?
Guys, we can do it as an after dark. Here's what I know. Final thoughts about the draft class. It's actually one of the things where I look and you see, like you said, experience. They drafted guys who had a lot of leadership qualities and experience. They did this thing where it's like, oh, hey, we stocked a bunch. Now we go into 2025 with, what, 13 draft picks?
A lot.
Because of all the trade backs this year?
With 2/4.
Yeah, we did set up ourselves pretty good for next year.
So the idea is if you were ever going to try to like, hey, we need to start building the foundation of something new. These are all the moves of a franchise that...
A franchise.
Listen, don't make me call you Nabe Geary. These are all the moves of a franchise that understand that they have to start rebuilding. They just don't want to call it that. They don't want to refer to it as a rebuild. And so in that way, what they're doing is they said, hey, listen, we can do all these wild things for receivers. And then they don't. They get a blocking receiver and a guy who should work from the slot. And they go out and they get a future center and maybe starting three tech.
Sure.
And then they go, hey, we could do all these things. We draft all these players, a maybe starting safety. Because this is the year we turn it over. It's not going to be 2018 because Josh isn't 2018 Josh. Josh is 2024, 25 Josh, which unfortunately means he knows how to throw the football. He just needs guys who can catch it, which we didn't give him any of. At least not as of today. So you're going to run an offense through the running game. You're going to run an offense through tight ends. You're going to throw.
Sounds like a good idea. Sounds like something that happened back in 1970.
Yep. One of the things I hate is these people who go, oh, well, Keon Coleman wins 50-50 balls. I go, do you know that in the NFL, the margin between a 50-50 ball, like Nate, you used to play quarterback.
Sure did. It was really good. Just ask anyone.
The difference between a 50-50 ball and a 70-30 ball is really not that.
It's all about the spiral.
It's really not that different.
About the accuracy.
It's like, oh, can this go one way or the other way? Well, I'm just going to huck it up. Well, that's a terrible idea.
I'll tell you what.
I think this draft class laid the groundwork for what will be next year's draft class. And I think that this year, and it's funny because you're also another one of your coworkers. Today, on the drive here, I hear Bulldog on the radio. He said something, and I quoted it because I wanted to get it right. He goes, last year, you know, he goes, with this wide receiver position, like you said, you think we're bottom three. He goes, well, last year we sailed to the playoffs. We might struggle this year. You think we sailed to the playoffs last year?
Yeah.
You think this team didn't have to take a long look in the mirror and try to figure out what the fuck it wanted to be?
It's over.
And it's over. And reinvent itself over the course of the year. It's over. And reinvent itself.
By the way,
and figure out how
you're welcome, everyone, for putting the reverse curse on. Like, you're fucking welcome. This is what I do. I take one for the team all the time, and no one says thank you.
I'm getting you one of those mugs.
No one says thank you.
I'm gonna drink coffee out of one.
By the way, this fucking linebacker's from Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah,
and he was born in 2000.
Yep.
All right.
What, you think people aren't having babies in Alaska?
2,000.
And he's playing football. What kind of football is going on in Alaska?
Well, he moved to Las Vegas following his freshman year of high school.
But even then, what kind of high school football?
They went from Alaska to Vegas. That is a story if I have ever heard it in my life. Alaska to Vegas.
He might write
his own. Is a lot like Buffalo to Paris.
At the end of the day, this class, not sexy, not going to blow the doors off anybody, but you're laying the foundation for what's going to be the next thing. And I think people need to wake up to that. Wake up, sheeple! You know, Clay Travis would be on here going, what the liberal media doesn't want you to know. And it would just be that thing. The Bills actually have a rebuilding year in front of them, and they're not admitting to it. We should grill them in open court.
What's that fucking idiot's name that's on with Clay Travis?
Buck Sexton.
No, the one that used to be on ESPN.
I have no idea, because he doesn't.
Big, dumb, fat fucker. What's his name?
I don't know. He's on does a radio show with Buck Sexton, And
he's on. He used to be on The Burn.
Before that, he did it by himself.
The big fat fucker. Who is it?
Who knows? You have a thing against fat guys?
Hold on. No.
If you're going to look it up, go ahead, because he did a solo show on Fox Sports Radio.
All I know is, guys, we've been, what were we now, Chris, an hour and a half?
Hour and 13 minutes by my clock.
Okay. Here's what I know.
How funny is it that I Google searched big fat fucker that was on ESPN and Jason Whitlock is the first name that pops up?
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't do a show with him.
That's...
He never did a show with him.
That's not hilarious.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
Big fat fucker that used to be on ESPN. And the first thing is, are you talking about Jason Whitlock? Question mark. Who is the big fat guy on that used to be on ESPN? Drop down. Jason Whitlock. That dude sucks.
What I'll say is the Bills used this draft against our wishes as a fan base, where we thought, like, hey, you can just keep the window open. They were like, nah, instead we're just going to dive into this thing of we're going to build the foundation of something that can win in a year or two. And that sucks. And that sucks because they've spent all this time telling us they're not doing that.
No, Brandon Bean said they're in transition.
Now he said it.
No, he said it. What do you mean now he said it? Of course, that's what I'm talking about. That's what he did.
Of course, now that it's over, but otherwise, whenever they were like, hey, is this a rebuilding year? And they'd be like, well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, rebuilding and transition, those are different, aren't they? Like,
that's something for like, you and Clay Travis to do.
Like, your teeth are in transition. I wouldn't say they're rebuilding. They're certainly not rebuilding.
Nate. That is a perfect note to end the podcast on. Guys, this is a draft class where there's a lot of the floors and the ceilings, everything's promising. I actually really love this class regardless of the trade at the top that ate up most of the show. What I do know is that next year is not going to be the thing that we all think it's going to be. Or that the national media might think it's going to be, which is interesting because next week we have the schedule release.
Allegedly.
Who do you have on?
Allegedly, the guest next week? Schedule release.
Is Thursday. Any guesses? Thursday.
On the schedule or the guest?
Guest. You've probably been on their show. And they love wrestling. It's not hard to figure out. Anthony Prohaska.
We're gonna sit here and we're gonna rap about the NFL schedule, and I guarantee you there's gonna be a wave of primetime games, and it's gonna be hilarious to watch the Bills in a transition year. It's gonna look a lot like the time the Miami Dolphins made the playoffs and then got handed 6 primetime games the next year, and just fell on their face.
It's going to be a lot like the time that Drew went to the orthodontist and he was like,
I've never seen anything like this before.
Guys, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun getting Nate hammered and just yelling about things off Seagram's. But for tonight, we got to get out of here. I've had a lot of fun just kind of giving an overview
of
the
class.
Go get
a mango peach culch.
Mildly talking about it because it's all I really care about. Now it's time to get these guys in camp, let the bullets start flying, and figure out who actually matters. I think there's going to be some surprises the way the roster's built as to what's going to matter when camp starts and who's going to come out on top. But we have a whole summer to debate that. For tonight, we got to get out of here. I'm Drew Geer. All right, Shay. I'm Drew Geer. That's Chris Krueger. That's Nate Geary.
And I'm the captain.
He's the captain of the SS bullshit. And this has been your Rock Pile Report.